Very important thing. Person says that the dua raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyyu wa rasula, that I am pleased with Allah Ta'ala as my Rabb, pleased with Islam as my way of life, as my deen. So the question of what the person is saying is that when it comes to Allah Ta'ala as my Rabb and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my Nabi, then that I am definitely pleased with. But when it comes to Islam as my way of life, as my deen, so this, sometime when I see the passion of the kuffar or the ways of the kuffar, then my mouth waters for it. So you must, there's two things, right? Iman, person is happy with Allah Ta'ala as his Rabb, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his Nabi. So Iman is intact. These things, the attractions of the kuffar, they package it in a way that attracts a person. So that is what we have to fight. That is what we have to fight. The attraction will be there. If there was no attraction, there was no attraction, then there will be no sawab to stay away from it. Right? Because there is an attraction, now you have to fight yourself to stay away from it. But as long as you're fighting yourself to stay away from it, then that is what a person is getting rewarded on. So the desires will come, attraction will be there. For example, now, you get an ad on your phone, right? They tell you now, this motor car you can buy. You qualify. Mm-hmm. They send you a pre-approved. Pre-approved. First installment in May. They entice the people like this. What's the thing? All right. All want to commitments now. By May, I think I'll sort things out. So now there is an attraction. Yeah, I like the car, deal is looking good, everything is an attraction. You say, no man, Allah Ta'ala won't be happy with this, so I'm not going to do it. So now there will be a pain holding yourself back. Why is it that if a person protects his gaze, the gaze is a thing, if you misuse it, nobody knows. Nobody knows besides Allah Ta'ala. So now if a person, he protects his gaze, a pretty face going past, he so much wants to look, but he says, I'm not going to look. I'm not going to look. So the pain that he takes on his heart for not looking, in lieu of that, he is blessed with the sweetness of Iman. So the attraction will always be there. Attraction will always be there. Attraction is one, objection is another. Now what is objection? This is where the dangerous part comes in now. The sunnat is to sit and eat on the floor. Right? So I'm seeing the kuffar, they're sitting on the tables and eating. In some restaurant there, everybody is sitting there. Now I'm attracted to go and also sit there in the restaurant and have a meal there, how they're sitting, their wives, their children and all. I too want to go and do this. But then I remind myself that, look, that's not appropriate for a mu'min to go and sit there in their environment and all that, so I won't go. Now for this I'm getting rewarded. Now, I'm looking at the mu'mineen sitting on the floor and eating. And wa na'uzu billah, Allahumma hafizna, I say, or I feel in me, it is this way of eating now, man. Come on, man. See, we've got tables and chairs. This is dangerous. This is dangerous. Person is wearing a kurta, right? Now I look at him, hey, this Hindi, Chindi thing, so untidy, and I don't wear like this. Person is wearing an amama. What do you put a bandage on his head for now? What for? Now this is the dangerous thing. Now this person's iman can get affected. There is a possibility he can even go into kufr. Right? If he starts despising certain, you know, shi'ar of deen, etc., he can go into kufr also. So as long as it's not like that, when you look at the things of deen, you are happy to make amal, you please do it, everything. Now sometimes you look at certain things of the kuffar, there is an attraction. Because the nafs likes to go all day. But then you fight that attraction. You say, no, that's not for us. It's not for us. No matter how much pain I have to take on myself, I'm not going to do that for the pleasure of Allah. Now you're rewarded for that. Never must there be a situation where now a person is finding objection with things of deen. Like you hear some people talking, you say, no, hey, are you going to run business today if you don't deal in interest? It's impossible. You can't deal. The muftis, they need to sort something out here. Now, where are they coming with these laws? It's not the muftis' laws, it's Allah Ta'ala's law. See, one lady was divorced, right? So now she's currently in Eid. So now it's Eid. Families are getting together. So the lady, she herself, she studied whatever she understands that, I mean, that I can't go anywhere. Her parents, they understand that, look, this year we'll sacrifice, we'll stay at home, we're not going to go. Our daughter is in Eid, that she's in Eid, that we'll stay with her. But now the family, why are you being so strict? You're only going to family's house. What's the problem? Now, if somebody has to make a statement that hey, these laws of iddat are too strict, man. You know, now there's a problem now. This becomes a problem now. So, as long as a person is not on that, then it's fine. His iman is intact. It's natural to have some pull towards some wrong things. That's what you got to fight. You have a pull towards something wrong. You fight that. Allah Ta'ala rewards you on that. When wanting to change, what's the first steps to take? So the first thing is a sincere tawbah. Sincere tawbah to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And thereafter we have to make amends. Right? So one is our hukukullah, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. And we'll look at that. And now I got qaza namazes, I got to start reading. Maybe I didn't pay zakat a few years, I must pay. So those things you look at, all the hukukullah, and you start sorting that out. Then you look at the hukukul ibad. Right? In my past life, maybe I was stealing, maybe I usurped one property, maybe I did something. So now I got to make amends. Whether I'm going to go and ask for maafi, I'm going to pay back, whatever the situation is, I must sort that out. My akhlaq is very bad towards my wife, right? I'm always very hard, always in a hurry, don't listen to her opinions, etc. So now I must change that. So whatever our weakness may be, we got to start making those changes. But the first thing is to make a tawbah. First thing is to make a tawbah, and then look at the hukukullah, hukukul ibad, and start making amends. Right? Then, for ongoing change, the most efficient and what has proved most beneficial is to get into the company of a pious person. So now, every step of the way, you're seeking mashwara. What must I do in this situation? What must I do there? How must I handle this? What must I do here? And then you follow that. So by following that, you'll be putting your life right. You got a dispute. Now before you go and make any, you know, decisions, you go to your sheikh. This is the dispute here now. What must I do? You got a disagreement with something. Mashayikh, their advices, you know, their advices, It's not that they got some higher knowledge or something. But because they keep turning to Allah Ta'ala, they keep making dua to Allah Ta'ala, they ask Allah Ta'ala for guidance, etc. And then they're trying to live a life of taqwa. So Allah Ta'ala's assistance is with them. So when you are sincere and you are going and you're seeking mashwara from them, they are making dua to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, now this person is coming to ask me, you guide me to what will be best for this person. Right? So the Shaykh wants the best for you and you also want the best, in other words, to be connected with Allah Ta'ala. So now Allah Ta'ala will put it in his mind to tell him to do this. It's not that he got one direct line there, right? No, it will come in his heart that, okay, give this mashwara, give that mashwara. And now when the person makes amal on that, Allah Ta'ala puts khair in there. Allah Ta'ala puts khair in there. So if you speak to people who have ta'alluq with mashayikh, they will tell you how sometimes they were in such a predicament. They didn't know which way to turn. But they made mashwara, they were told, right, do this, do that, and with ease they came out of it. Not to say no pain, sometimes there'll be pain, but they came out of it, came out of the problem. Right? So that's the most efficient, most beneficial, that you get into the company of a pious person, you try to attend his majalis regularly. If you live far away, at least listen to the majalis. Because the majalis of Islam, always something, sometimes we're not realizing that a certain thing is my weakness. Right? But I'm listening because I want change. I'm taking the trouble to listen, or I'm taking the trouble to attend. So Allah Ta'ala will make it that things will come up, which will be for my own good. Person who is looking for Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak is not going to deprive that person. So now he'll be listening to the majlis. I also want that problem. Now, how I must sort out the problem, let me go and consult with the Shaykh now. Let me go and consult with him and tell him. Now he'll explain to me what I must do. So like that, slowly, slowly, you'll be putting things right. One by one, things will be coming right in our life, and we'll be changing without even realizing it. We'll hear something, okay, I'm supposed to do that. For example, now maybe I'm a person, whenever I come to the masjid, I meet up with my friends there, I'm talking loudly and walking, coming to the masjid, or I make a noise in the wuzu khana. Now that day the Shaykh is conducting the majlis and he's talking about how we must respect the masjid and how people unmindful walk, making big, big noise and making noise in the wuzu khana. Okay, that's my weakness. That is my weakness. I need to put that thing right. So like that, you pick up things, you put right, certain things you have to consult. So that is the most effective way. Not the only way, but it's the most effective way, beneficial way. After every program, I see everyone making salam to Maulana again and again. Is there any basis in deen for this, or is it just done out of muhabbat? I'll ask these people who are making salam what they're doing. I don't know if they're doing out of muhabbat or what they think. Maybe they are dishing out some money or something, I'll give out something. I don't know. So there's no rule that now after every program you have to make salam and all of that, or make musafaha. Generally people make out of muhabbat, and also keeping in mind that now our gunas will get forgiven. You shake somebody's hand, then before your hand departs and your gunas get forgiven. So keeping that in mind, if I shake these people's hand, maybe my sins will get forgiven. So like that, people may be having that kind of niyat, or they're doing out of muhabbat, or whatever it may be. But there's no rule. Now you have to every time. after a program you have to shake hands with everybody. There's no rule like that. So the opposite to this question is there any guna in it? If people are making salam, they're making musafar, they're meeting, is there anything wrong with it? Anything wrong? If they entertain a belief that this is something that is sunnah now, we have to do it, right? And the person sometime maybe is in a hurry to leave also something, but now he says, no, I have to first make salam, make musafa, then only I can go. And he starts attaching that kind of importance to it, then obviously now it will end up becoming a bid'ah. But it's more like a casual thing. Some people get to make musafa, some don't get. Sometimes somebody got one question, so he waits. He'll make musafa and ask the question, or he wants to say something or whatever. So there's no problem with it as long as the belief is right. What is a good punishment for the nafs regarding lustful gazes? That's like asking the doctor what's a good dawa for diabetes. So now the doctor will say, look, mate, first you have to come in. We got to do a test. We'll first do a normal test. Then we'll do one fasting test, glucose test. And we see what your, whether you even have diabetes. And if you have it, then what's the level? Then now we'll see how to treat you. Then we have to see whether you got some allergies too. Now maybe we say, must take this dawa, but that dawa don't agree with you. So now that, so just like that is to protect the gaze, don't look. If you looked, you can impose some fine on yourself. You can impose some fine, so, you know, if I look, I'm maybe two rakat, salatu tawbah or something. But now maybe you're somebody who loves to read namaz. Now you'll read Lord namaz too and you look Lord also. What difference is going to make? So the sheikh will, he'll have to gauge. Now if you told that person read Toba namaz for every time you look to read two rakat salatu Toba, for example. Now 10 days when? After 10 days this fellow writes back, you say, you know what? I read 10 rakats this day, I read 12 rakats that day, but I'm still looking. So now he says, no, you're on the wrong treatment for this person here. We need to change the treatment. So now I may tell him, all right, you, every time you look, you pay 50 rand fine now. Then he may come right with that. There was one person, he wrote with regards to a particular illness of his. A prescription was given to him. I'm trying to think what the illness was. This was the Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali's time. I think it was Ghibat, Ghaliban, Ghibat. Most probably. So, said you, he gave him some prescription, gave him some, but he wasn't coming right with it. So eventually, he told him, no, lies. It was lies. Lies or something to do with that. I can't remember what it was properly. So he told him, all right, what you must do now, you must write down on one board. Look, by this is my weakness. So everything I say to you, don't just believe it. Don't just believe it. Something like that to him to write. Then I must wear that thing and walk. So that person wrote back. He says, just reading this prescription, the sickness is gone. So I won't do it now. The thing with an Islahi relationship is there has to be sincerity and truthfulness. Right? The sheikh can give a prescription. The person doesn't practice on the prescription. And he doesn't give a feedback. So now the sheikh, he don't get the wahi or something, or now what's happening with you and everything. Not like you took bayat to him, now he knows everything was happening in your life. No. you got to inform. He will give you a prescription or an advice. Now they think you are practicing on it. Not you're not practicing on it. You're doing it. You're not coming right. You got to inform again. Now you say, okay, we tried that. Right, let's try this. Right? Still not coming right. You go. If there was one person, he wasn't waking up for Fajr namaz. All his other namazes were in order. He's not managing to wake up for Fajr namaz. Wife is waking him up, told him Hazrat's prescription, set extra alarm clock, put it further away from your bed, so you have to wake up to go put it off. Nothing doing. So then he was told that, see, the day you miss Fajr namaz, there's no breakfast. You don't eat. Right? And you can't keep roza also. Because if he's keeping roza, he's alright, no, at least some faida I'm getting here. There's no roza, but you can't eat breakfast. Your lunch is only one sliced bread and a cup of tea. That's all. Right? You eat supper time. Now, all day, the pain of hunger, right? And you know, it's not even a fast, not even a roza. When it is a roza, it's okay, I'm getting something. The whole day now, the pain of no food. Next morning, Fajr time, your nafs will wake you up very quickly. So by Hira, just wake up, go read the Fajr namaz. Whole day we can eat. Like this now, you know, half an hour you don't want to sacrifice, we're suffering 10 hours here. So you rather just go and read your Fajr namaz, at least after that, the rest of the day can be okay. So the Shaykh will see, this is not working, try that. But the murid has to be pakka. Murid has to be pakka. He has to make ittila. It's not helping. He has to inform again, but provided he's carrying it out. Not, he just informs, now after 2 weeks, you know, no, it didn't come right. It didn't come right, but did you take the medication? You didn't take the medication, now you want it to come right. Now if the Shaykh prescribed Panado, for example, and it's not coming right. So now in his head, wait, now this fellow now, maybe he got a different kind of pain. So maybe he needs a Norflex. Or maybe he needs a Miprodol or a Mibulin, right? But you never take the Panado. And he went and put you on a Mibulin when you don't even take the Panado. So now there's going to be a whole mix-up now, right? But if you took the Panado, you're not coming right, so right, higher the dosage. You're taking one Panado, and higher the dosage. Comes right, alhamdulillah. Not come right, no wait. Now there may be something else. So you have to be in contact with the Shaykh and work at that illness. You must be sincere to want to get rid of it. You get, like some people then, even if the wife is the big Shaykh, right? The wife say now, yeah, I think I must tell your Shaykh about you, you know, I must tell your Shaykh about this or that, whatever. And then see how angry he gets now. He gets so angry. There was one person who was dead to Azmoy Spatel Sab Rahmatullah Ali. And normally he was of a good temperament, but don't know what happened to him. Couple of days he was irritable, so he was now being ratty at home and all that. So his wife, she said, you're not putting yourself right, I'm phoning us right now. So she phoned Hazrat. So Hazrat said, call him on the phone. So he went on the phone. Hazrat told him, whatever his name was, you see, you're not like this. Why are you behaving like this? Finish. Kissa khatam, his story was sorted out. But he didn't get upset with the wife. Now you embarrassed me, why you phoned in? No. It's not about embarrassment. The sheikh, he didn't ever look down on the murid, because he considers himself to be worse. So he's not going to look down on any murid. The murid comes to him with a problem, he himself feels ashamed. I got my own garbage by me, and this person is coming to me to ask me for help. So now there's a concern now. You know, I need to assist this person. I need to help him for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and he needs to get rid of his bimari. So the sheikh won't look down on a person. In fact, the person who doesn't keep the taluk, so then the sheikh thinks, therefore he's okay. You don't have to worry about him too much. You don't have to cry for him tajjud time, you know, that he's alright. The person who is bringing his sickness forward, now the sheikh is concerned about him, right? So worried about him. And he picks up his hand after namaz, and he make dua for him. Tajjud time, if he wakes up, he make dua for him. So the sheikh gets more concerned about his patient. That is my patient now. Can't look down. You go to the doctor, you're not well. The doctor will look down on you because you're not well. No. You're not well. Now the doctor has to be concerned about you. See now what dawa to give you. It's the same thing. How to bring life into one zikr? How to bring life into one's zikr. I don't know what this means, how to bring life into one's zikr. But sometime a person be making the same zikr every day. So sometimes he feels that now I'm gone on auto mode. Like, you know, is there any fayda in this? I'm making this zikr. Is there any fayda? Is there any benefit? So it's like a person, the first time he gets a medication. First time he gets a medication, he's checking the packet. Okay, this one is a purple color one. Eh? The first time they gave me this one, when he's going to eat it, take it also, he's wondering, now is it going to be bitter, going to be sweet? How is it going to go down? After the first 1-2 days he's taking that thing, then he's autopilot after that. He's just putting in and taking. Right? But does that mean that the tablet doesn't work now? Tablet does its work. So the zikrullah that the person is making is doing its kaam. Yes, what we have to do is try and be in wudu, sit facing the qibla, especially the prescription zikr, sit facing the qibla, and try to concentrate to the best of our ability. So the mashayikh, they give different methods of what to think about while you're making zikr, which will improve your concentration. So that they don't come in the Hadith Sharif now. That's just aids they're giving you on how to improve your concentration. Sometimes people go on this tandem now, right? That no, everything you must prove it in the Hadith Sharif. But not everything is proven in the Hadith Sharif. The Hadith Sharif will tell you to make zikrullah. Quran Sharif tells you to make zikrullah. Now, the Shaykh will prescribe a zikr for you. So, is it wrong to make the zikr? That's the question you got to ask yourself. People ask today, so now this bara zikr, where it came from? Which hadith proves it? Yeah. So now, when you're going to buy a motor car, so you're choosing to buy a Toyota Corolla, or you're choosing, so which hadith told you to buy a Toyota Corolla? There you don't say, no, must be proven from the hadith now. The amal of zikr is proven. There's so much fazilat, etc. Now, what zikr are you going to make? We are lazy, right? We are lazy. So if an amount is not given to us, one day we're in the mood, we'll make 5,000. Next day, we're not in the mood, we won't even make 5. So now the sheikh gives you an amount. Say that, make 100 times La ilaha illallah, 100 times illallah, 200 times Allah, Allah. Start off with that. Now do it every day. Now two things are happening. One is the person is getting used to making dhikr. The other thing is, there's some istiqamat coming into his life. His nafs is getting disciplined. Every day we have to do this, every day. Now in after a couple of months, the sheikh may ask him, or he may inform, Alhamdulillah, say right now, up it. Add on now. Make this, make that, add it on. Now, every morning, make sure you're sitting after Fajr and you read your Yasin Sharif, your morning du'as, all that. He's getting the person into a tartib. So the person got something to follow. He got something to follow. So he follows that, and this brings discipline into him, provided he does follow it. Sometimes, when it comes to dini things, then we got a lot of ishkans. Where this came from, where this is proven from, where that is proven from. The Jamaat brothers, where they got this from, where they got that from. 3 days, where it came out from. 10 days, which hadith it came from. They will be able to give you some indication that they got from somewhere. They don't just pull out from their pockets. Always they sit, they thought about these things, right? So they, like now they tell you you must go 40 days in the Khankah. So you say, now where this came? Which hadith say you must go sit 40 days in the Khankah? So no hadith says that. But you do learn that 40 days, in 40 days metamorphosis can take place. So then that's why they stipulate the 40 days. So when it comes to dunyavi things, then we don't ask too much. You go to the doctor, he tell you take this tablet one time a day, take that tablet. There we don't ask him. Kunsi hadith say sabit hai. They will take the tablets. If the sheikh tell him, read 100 times this, read, wo kunsi hadith se sabit hai. The sheikh is not telling you it's sunnah you have to do it. He's prescribing for you something that if you do it, it will benefit you. So, you try and do it, it benefit you. The huffaz are told, read 3 paras Quran Sharif daily. You hear the old Hibs Asatiza. They say that if a hafiz reads 3 paras Quran Sharif daily, his Quran Sharif will get stronger. It always gets stronger. Because he's making a door, every 10 days he's making a door, making a door. His Quran Sharif will keep getting stronger. If he reads 2 paras Quran Sharif daily, then his Quran Sharif will stay the same. It won't get strong, it won't get weak. Whatever condition it is in, it will stay. And if he reads 1 para Quran Sharif daily, his Quran Sharif will weaken. It will, when he completed his, how his Quran Sharif was, it will get weaker. Now you ask the person, now, konsi hadith se sabit hai? It's not in any hadith. It's tajrubeh ki baat. Through experience, this year, the person has realized this, you know. So, zikrullah, you must try to concentrate. So different mashayikh, they give different, like I explained to you all about La ilaha illallah. So, you know, think of that the nafs is here. So I'm taking out the filth. La ilaha, I'm throwing it away. Then I'm going to my heart. Illallah, only Allah. There was one person who was making a zikr of illallah. Right? Illallah, only Allah. So when you're making zikr of illallah, you try to negate everything else. Say, only Allah, not my money, only Allah. Not my business, only Allah. Not my car, only Allah. Not my intelligence, only Allah. Only Allah, only Allah. Allah is being, everything Allah is being. So, now sometime a person experiences a kafir. He says, why he is making this zikr? He is seeing himself entering a beautiful room, like a vault, but very beautiful, like a top upper class, you know, where the people keep their, you know, some of these banks, they have that safe boxes, like you keep. So a place like that is entering. But very smart, very, very smart. And every box has got different sifat. Sabar, shukr, yaqeen, tawakkul. And it's like being said to him, that take what you want, take. Take from whichever sifat you want, take. Take how much you want, take. So, sometime now a person will have that kind of experience. Now he may advise his murids. Let's see, say, illallah, think about this. Like some mashayikh, they say when you're saying Allah, so I explained to you all the other night, think of the heart, that all that dirt is coming out. Allah Ta'ala's name is shining there now. Yeah? So now when Allah Ta'ala's name is shining, now the noor of Allah Ta'ala is going into your body. So now every part of your body is saying Allah, not only your tongue. All your organs, everything is saying Allah. Every hair on your body is saying Allah. Now when you are saying Allah like that, now everything around you too is saying Allah. Every blade of grass is saying Allah. Every leaf on the tree is saying Allah. So the greatness of Allah Ta'ala settles in. So the person is concentrating on this, so his mind can't go to other things. You know, when you're counting money, nobody must talk to you. You lose count. You concentrate. When the mind is concentrating on something, then you can't, something else can't come in at that time. So, different mashayikh, they tell the murids to think of different things in order for them to try and keep their concentration. But even if the concentration has to weaken or you get, you know, sometime now very tired too, you know, you're just making the sleep through what you're carrying on. That too has its effect. Namada explained that you won't put a drip. That thing is going into your system. Drop by drop is going into your system. You're not doing anything. You don't have to concentrate on that thing. That if you stop concentrating, that thing will stop coming. No, it will just carry on going. And whatever faida it's supposed to give, it will give that faida in the body. So dhikrullah is like that. Obviously, if you got more concentration, there will be more benefit. Less concentration, there may be less benefit. But there's no situation where there's no benefit. Benefit must come. Allah Ta'ala's name, benefit must be there. So, don't worry too much about feelings. Sometimes a person, initially when he starts making dhikrullah, sometimes he's tearing, sometimes he's feeling something. People chase behind feelings. Right? So, this chasing behind feelings, you have become a slave of lazat, enjoyment. So when you're not getting enjoyment, then you feel like, hey, nothing happening. Me, I just want to enjoy. No. You must make your dhikr for Allah. You don't chase behind the feeling. Allah Ta'ala gives you some feeling someday, well and good. You don't have some feeling one day, well and good. In fact, the mashayikh mentioned the time when you don't have those feelings and you still continue making your dhikr with istiqamah, you get more sawab. Because now your nafs is not involved at all. Your nafs is not involved. You're only doing it for Allah Pak. The time you're getting the kayfiyat, so you're getting an enjoyment. So you're doing extra for the enjoyment, the feeling you're getting now. That's your feeling. So that mustn't, our concentration mustn't be on that. Feeling may come, feeling may not come, don't worry about that. I must just do my, what I need to do, I must do it. So I've got my tartib, I must follow it. Don't worry about feelings. Feelings come, they come, feelings don't come, don't worry about them. Is it fine if a person has more raja than khawf? Raja means hope. Khawf is fear. Right? So the raja must be more, especially toward, as the person gets older. In the younger days, the khawf must be there. Because in the younger days, the nafs is running wild. So there must be more khawf there to restrain that nafs. As a person matures and he gets older, he must have more hope. Have more hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. There's no need now to have so much khawf. There must be more hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. The khawf must become like salt in the food. Salt in the food. You don't put so much of salt. You just put enough salt to season the food, right? So the khawf must be like that in a person's old age. Young days, the khawf must be. The mashayikh, when they talk about the nafs, they use the example of a horse. Or they use the example of a horse. Because you can understand the nafs with a horse. So a young horse that you still breaking in. So you have a very tight rein. You can't leave it. You have a very tight rein. As soon as you get onto the horse, you have to assert your authority. You can't be soft and lenient. The horse won't listen to you. You got to assert your authority to the horse. You got to have a tight rein. The horse must know who's in charge. A young person, he has to treat his nafs like that. Be very firm with the nafs. Because if you just give it a little bit, will be gone. Now once the nafs is trained up, a trained horse sometime, you can leave the rein. You just leave the rein loose. That thing knows the trail. They just carry on walking. Like you, some people, you go to the burgs and all that, they have these horse rides there. You think you're riding horse. Those things are like programmed, you know. Every day they do this thing a couple of times a day. You don't have to even hold the reins. You just surround them. You follow the leader and carry on. So the nafs becomes trained like that. It just knows the drill. Alarm clock rang, I need to wake up. If I'm not going to wake up, this fellow, he won't give me my food. So it becomes trained after a while. Person gets into a program, he just knows, right? Not to say that you can trust it after that. You can never trust it. You got to watch it. You got to keep watching it. But it becomes more controllable, more easier. The pull towards wrong is not so strong. There's two things. One is, yesterday we spoke about the parents. You know, talking about the mother. And we mentioned about the Sahabi who was giving preference to his mother over his wife. So this incident is mentioned in a lot of kitabs, and a lot of the Isla'i kitabs too, you find it mentioned. So it's a famous incident, but Maulana was bringing it to my attention that this hadith answers, and Zakaria Magda also from Tanimuddin and Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahib Marhum also, their tahqiq that this is not a sahih hadith. In fact, they say it's a fabrication. It is not suitable to be quoted, mustn't quote it, it's a fabrication. So this story is even come in all the maktab kitabs. In the tasheer, I don't know in the tasheer, but in the old maktab kitabs, this incident was mentioned there also. A lot of times it happens like this. Certain things become very famous. They become well known and everybody talks about it. But the thing may be a fabrication. So we are fortunate that we have these ulama in our midst, that they are researching these things and then they point it out to us. It's like adultery. Ghibat is worse than adultery. Al-ghibatu ashaddu min al-zina. So many times the thing is quoted, always, you know, ghibat is worse than fornication. Ghibat, backbiting is worse than fornication. But that's not a hadith. It's a statement of a muhaddith. It's not a hadith. It's not a hadith itself. It's a statement of a muhaddith. So quite a few things like that brought to our attention that no, this thing is not suitable. So then we have to abstain from quoting it, and we've got to educate our people also that that is a fabrication, don't quote it. No? The other thing we mentioned was with regards to Mufti Hashim Boda from Dadir. So what had actually happened there was Mufti Hashim Saab's mother had passed away. So he was going to the Kabristan often. So just the early days after his mother passed away, so he was going to the Kabristan often. And then one day when he went to the Kabristan, he sees this fire shooting, a flame of fire shooting out from the Qabr. So obviously, I mean, you get very, very perturbed. You see the fire coming out from the Qabr. So first he thought like he's seeing things, then he looked properly, he's seeing, no, he's actually seeing a flame coming out from the Qabr. So then he went closer, and he went closer, he sees, no, really, there's fire coming out from this grave. And then he checked up whose Qabr it is. Right? Now, it's not that you're checking up whose Qabr it is to go and embarrass the person. The Mufti Saab, he went around the country at that time, giving these bayans. It was in the 89, 90, around there. But he never ever mentioned the person's name. That this was that person. He never mentioned the person's name. Sometime, maybe that person is owing somebody money. That's why he's getting azab in the qabr. So, you want to find out. If that's the case, then let us try and pay the man's debt. Maybe there's something else. Like one person, he had purchased the television. Right? Now he brought the TV in the house. And the wife, children, all day watching. Everybody is watching. The whole family is watching television. Then this person passed away. He passed away. He's one friend from another country. Kept on dreaming him. That he is in a, you know, like in an azab, like, you know. And then I can't remember the whole details now, but eventually it was identified that every time they putting the TV on there at home, he is getting azab in the qabr. He brought the TV in the house, he introduced them to this guna. Right. So then he went there to the family, explained to them, etc. And alhamdulillah, at least they were understanding, then they also made tawbah, they got rid of the TV, and after that he dreamt his friend in a good condition. So Allah Ta'ala sometimes shows you something so that you can be maybe of assistance to that person. So Mufti Hashim Saab, maybe that was his niyat, that this person, Allah Pak showed me that he is getting some sort of an azab, so let me find out what is the thing. So when he identified which family it is and he went to the family, then he explained to them, obviously behind the parda, he spoke to the wife, and this is what I've seen, what was the situation with your husband. So outwardly the person, he was a namazi person, he was like your average musalli in the masjid. Then very reluctantly, the wife eventually said to, whether directly to Mufti Saab or Mufti Saab's family or whatever, that he was abusive. He was abusive to the wife, ill-treating the wife. And then Mufti Saab said, no, this is the reason. This is the reason. So then that time he went around and he was, you know, giving bayans on this, that husband and wife, husband must see how they are treating the wife. You see, in the old days, the men were hitting the wives a lot. older men, they were hitting the wives a lot. And the wives, they wouldn't talk. They wouldn't say anything, no complaint. There was no WhatsApp and all that, to just send a quick message here and there and all that. In those days, when they got the girls married, now your janaza must come out from there. Right? So, some of it is this Hindu mindset, that in the Hindu people, they believe like that. Even, I think I mentioned to you all the other day that if the husband dies, then to show her loyalty to the husband, when they're cremating him, she must go jump in the fire too and get burnt. And if she doesn't do that, so now she must just remain, she can't get married again. She must just remain in the home of her in-laws and serve them till her death. She must serve them. That is in the Hindu custom. So our people, obviously, our forefathers, before they became Muslim, what they were following? They all came from India, they were following all Hinduism and all that. It's Allah's mercy on us that Allah gave us Iman. So, some of these customs came from there, these thoughts. Like before, when our old people used to get married, they used to put garland for them. Dried fruit garden, I don't know if you people see, you saw all this thing, right? You never see. They put garland, dried fruit, some put roses, and don't know what and what. That's all Hindu things. Hindu people used to do that. Our people would also be then to make that sarbat and put a laddu in the mouth and all those things. They were doing all those things before. It's all Hindu things. So nothing to do with Islam. So a lot of things came from there. So the mindset of marriage also, where that lady now after her husband passes away, she can't get married. So you'll find a lot of the old people, if they had to get married again, was like a big problem. That husband's family, they stopped talking to that lady, and you know, it was like a big, like how can you, I know one lady, Vichari, this is not even so long ago. Her husband passed away. She was a young person. Her husband was in his 40s. He passed away. So after her iddat finished and after some time, somebody proposed to her and she got married. Her mother-in-law is old. The mother-in-law made a statement, my son must be turning in his qabr. His body didn't even go cold and she already went and got married to somebody else. So there's no such thing. Deen allows it. The husband has passed away. The lady's iddat is finished. She can get married again. No problem at all. The very next day she can get married. In fact, it's good for her to get married. Her hifazat is in there. The old people, because they used to those customs, they looked at it very, very differently. So, a lot of the ladies were being hit. In today's time, if a man hits his wife, it comes out very quickly. And today's time, the ulama, they have educated the woman also. But yes, you got to make sabr and everything, but they don't mean you must sit there and get hiding. So this hitting of the wife is a very big guna. Very big, very, very big guna. I'm talking about the hitting where they, you know, sometimes leaving a mark on the lady, or throwing her on the ground, hitting her and punching and kicking and all these things. Unfortunately, sometimes ghussa takes over the person. And well, women also, they can't keep quiet. They can't keep quiet. Even if you agree to everything, right, okay, enough now, keep quiet now, finish. No. They must still say something. Then that fellow's magaj goes now. You got a ghussa problem, his head goes. So, a man has to be a man. Allah has given him a complete akal. He must be able to restrain himself. He's so much more stronger than a woman in most situations. He can really hurt her. She's weak. He can hurt her. He must restrain himself. And he doesn't need her permission to go out. She needs his permission. So if he's getting too heated up, rather go out. Go outside. But the going outside mustn't be to torment her. The going outside must be so I can calm down. I can calm down. Now when I'm calmer, I can deal with the situation better. Some men, they storm out of the house. Phone their friend, storm out of the house. But they're storming out with the arrogance. That too Allah is going to take us to task. And sometimes, some men, they don't hit the wife. But they will verbally abuse. Swear, put them down, make them feel bad. Insult them. Right? That also is no good. And then, other thing we do is silent treatment. Silent treatment, I don't talk, finish. One word answers then. So sometimes if a person is really upset at that time, and because he's so angry, he doesn't want to talk, he doesn't want to say the wrong thing. So that's understandable for a short period of time. Not for 1 month and 2 months and all that. Some people, they are not talking so long. They live in the same house. They don't know communication. Months are going, no communication. We have to be very careful with that one person that Allah Ta'ala has put in our care. How are we treating that person? This house is our government. Right? I'm the ruler in this house. I'm the governor here in this house. It's my government. So how am I running this government here? With compassion or with hardness? So I must be... Other thing is that our children, children, we have to give them time. Allah Ta'ala bless us with children. We have to give them time. It's a sad thing that sometime, the other day when Apa sent one email, he says, I got students, some are children of professionals, some are come from a very wealthy home, their children, their parents are in, father is in business or whatever, very wealthy home. And then I got some anim's children. And I got some other children who their parents come from Dinib, now whether they involved in Tabligh or Tasawwuf or whatever. It's telling me, these children whose parents are professionals and whatever, they listen more. Now maybe in her situation, they're listening more than these children who are coming from a Dini background. Sometime it happens that we get so consumed in our Dini work. You see, if you're consumed in Dunyavi work, you feel a little bit guilty. But when you're consumed in Dini work, you justify it. You justify it. That I'm doing Deen. But then the children get neglected. Busy worried about everybody's marital problem, business problem, financial problem, children problem, everything, besides the problem at home. Our child, we can't do homework with the child, we can't do nothing with the child, but so many hours we can spend with everything else. So, we have to give our children their due time. They also have a haq. We have to give them also their due time, and with softness, compassion. If we're going to be hard all the time, we're teaching them to behave like that. Tomorrow we old, that's the only way they know to behave. They'll be treating us like that. But that's how we brought them up. That's what they know, how you must behave. Each time the child does something wrong, you react with violence. So the child goes to madrasa, somebody took his pencil, he reacts with violence. Now they're calling you in to the madrasa. You're taking him, you're hitting him some more. So you're teaching him that. You're teaching him that whenever there's a problem, you react with violence. So he grows up like that. He reacts with violence. Anything, he needs to sort anything out, it must be violence. But that's what he was taught as a child. So we must break away from that habit. Spread this good akhlaq. Good akhlaq, narmi, softness. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Don't listen to anybody else with regards to the moon. Nowadays there's a lot of organizations. One Afghanistan Day making Eid. I think they sighted the moon, so they making Eid. I don't know how much the hours and what's the difference, or but they said they making Eid. So now one organization, they say, no, we'll be following the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. No, Amir al-Mu'minin is there, so we making Eid also now. So Saudi took too long. Otherwise they say we're following Saudi. Now they say we're following Afghanistan. So we got to just follow our local ulama bodies. They know what they're doing. And when they announce it, then we will tell you. And it's very, very highly unlikely for the moon to be sighted today. Very, very highly unlikely. There's nothing impossible for Allah Ta'ala, but highly unlikely that the moon can be sighted. So, sometimes you may just get one message on your phone, you think, all right, now the moon is sighted, you come out of the masjid and your whole itikaf, you broke it now. Don't do that. If the moon is sighted, same time you come and tell you, you won't believe. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah. Nashhadu.